Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on November 12th, 2024, taught by FaithBridge Men's Pastor Danny Hannon. Welcome to the 11th and final week of our Embrace the Frontier series, a study on God's covenants.
Oh, man, I like how Martin said, welcome to the... You made it. How did you put it? You made it to the last week? Like this is a slugfest to get to the end? I'm like, man, I didn't realize I'm dragging y'all through this thing. No, actually, I will say, it still warms my heart to see how many men are in this room right now. You know, because it's hard to get you guys to commit, right? And let's be honest, right? We're all men. It's awesome to see that we, you know, every year we're building and building and building, and this actually plays right into something I wanted to share with you guys tonight. But anyways, before we jump into that, I'm going to read a little bit of scripture for us, and then I know God's got a word for us. I'm excited. So Psalm 128, let me read that for you. It'll be on the screen if you want to follow along. Otherwise, just let your hearts receive this. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of your labor, of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for this time, and I thank you for these men. And I pray now, Lord, that you would move in this space, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to receive whatever it is that you have for us, including myself tonight, Lord. And I pray that your words would flow from my lips and that they would land on the hearts that you've prepared to hear them. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for what you're doing. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So this past week, we were actually in Dallas. A few of us on the adult ministry team were in Dallas at the Right Now Media Conference. Anybody heard of Right Now Media? Okay, good. As most of you, because we use a lot of Right Now Media here at Christ, at FaithBridge. It was really, really has always been an incredible experience to get to be able to go to something like this. And I see Roberto's nodding his head because he knows what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm trying to put it in words as to what we experience. So you go and you do a lot of the different teachings and the breakouts and all that, and they bring in some high-level speakers. But that's not the thing that really moves and stirs in me. That's not it at all. It's when you are with 2,000 ministry leaders in one space and you're worshiping together. Like, man, that's a movement of the Spirit unlike anything that we've experienced. And every time I go, this thing is happening inside of me where I'm going, I want more and more and more of this, and I want to see more of this. And last year, so this is going to be a challenge that I have for you guys before we jump into what's going on tonight. I feel like the Spirit is putting this on my heart. This is a call that I've got for you guys because I need y'all's help. I need your prayers, and I need your feet, and I need your hands. And here's what I'm talking about. A year ago, I'm in that space, and I had kind of a quick vision of like, man, what would this look like if 1,000 men were doing this? I'm telling you guys, the foundations of the earth would rumble when men worship. Like, I firmly believe that. But then this year, I felt like it got even stronger. Like, there's things that have been happening in this space, in this room, and all of a sudden, it's like, you got to remember, guys, who's been here kind of in the last couple years, been a part of this journey as this ministry has been growing and growing? Yeah, we got a few guys that saw, you know, from 2 years ago to how many showed up at Shop Talk, right? God is moving in our midst, and whether you know this or not, he's moving in you. He's preparing you for something that I firmly believe is coming. And so I found myself in the worship time at Right Now Conference praying that my eyes would get to see 2,000 men worshiping together. And really, ministry leaders, men's ministry leaders. And this is my call that I've got for you guys, is because whether you know it or not, you're in this space, you're hearing these words, because I firmly believe that God is doing something inside you that is preparing you for leading men, for leading men. And I need your help in that. I need your prayers in that. I don't know. I'm not putting words in the spirit mouth. I just know God's doing something here. And where we go from here, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm being drugged by the Holy Spirit. I'm not dragging him. And it's just exciting. But I tell you, when you're standing in that space, Roberto, you know what I'm talking about, right? Sean, you know what I'm talking about. When you're standing in that space and everybody's just worshiping together, hands raised, knees bowed, whatever it is, man, you feel the Spirit. And I want to see that with men because I firmly believe that a revival is coming. So that's kind of the burden that I've been kind of owning, is this space that I want each man to experience what it is to know, to just want and love God more and more and more. And I want to see that happen. I want to be a part of when something like that is happening. And I firmly believe that it's around the corner. So, and that starts with all of us have to get to this place where we go, who is it that we're going to serve? Who are you going to follow? Who have you given your life to? Right? That's been this whole journey that we've been on with these covenants. It starts with that. You got to make a decision. You've got to choose who you're going to serve, who you're going to follow. And that's what we're going to jump into tonight. But there's a song that's been just ringing in my head for the last couple of weeks. And I felt like this plays exactly into my heart for men's ministries and my call to y'all to join me in this effort. So play it right now. Let's listen to it.
I've had a dollar to my name. I've had friends that walked away. And I've even lost myself a time or two. There were bridges crossed and burned, but through all the wreckage I have learned, there is one thing that I can never lose. If I got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I could never hide, and a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I got it all. Turn to strength. I've seen failures met with grace. And it's not from what I've done, it's Christ in me. A miracle I can't explain. Oh, he's given me his name. I'm the richest man that I.
I got Jesus. I'll be the richest man I've ever been. Did y'all catch that in the final second verse? I'll be the richest man if I got Jesus. Like, that's really what it's all about. And so that's what tonight's going to be about, is the blessing. The blessing, right? The thing that comes out of when we have fully surrendered and given our lives. This whole journey of embracing the frontier, and there's nobody else better that I know has been on my heart to share his testimony, because he embodies this. And I want to invite my brother Pat Stout to come on up. He's going to share a couple minutes for us of his testimony.
Can I do, hello?
Yeah, is it on? You got him on?
Is it on? I don't think so.
Did I turn it on? Yeah, it's on.
Oh, can you guys hear me?
There we go.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Danny. I wanted to share a little bit about the gift of how God has blessed me spiritually since he led me back to stepping into faith. First, I will apologize and ask for your forbearance. I'm going to read this because I'm not used to sharing deep personal things with large groups of people.
That doesn't come naturally for
no,
us?
No, not really. I want to stay on track. So the group that we've had, the God sighting was kind of how this started. The group that we have is composed of old friends and new friends, and we've shared struggles and victories with each other. And we've taught each other and learned from each other and learned from the teachings too. So that was a big God sighting. I also wanted to share something amazing in my life that started last year. For most of my life, I've been a believer in Christ, but I was a really, really disobedient one. And the Bible talks a lot about believers who fall away, and I felt like I was that way. But last year in the fall men's study here, my table leader, a friend named Matt, was used by God to open my eyes to loving God the way I always wanted to. Matt shared about a teaching pastor that teaches verse by verse through the Bible in depth and in a way I never understood in all my years of reading the Bible. And I'd read the Bible a lot, I think. And I started listening to the teaching and reading the Bible, and I absolutely could not get enough of it. I understand that God was opening the eyes of my heart to him and his word in a way that turned my life upside down. He allowed me to truly understand more of who he is and love him like I was never able to love him before. I had a head faith, but not a heart faith. My main priority today is loving, glorifying, and obeying Jesus. And to me, it's an incredible gift of patience and mercy and grace from God. Through this time, I've realized that God truly works through willing believers like Matt, Danny, other people, all of us, and he does all the work for his glory and for our eternal benefit. And I can look around this room and see several friends, most younger than me, but further along in their faith, in their faith journey, their willingness and ability to discipline their flesh for Christ and to be obedient to him than I was. And I just want to thank you for being part of my journey back to God. Since that opening just over a year ago, I got baptized. I've been blessed to go on one mission trip and lead another, engage in serving at church, and have been able by the Holy Spirit to turn my life over to God.
Amen.
I just want to, the last thing I want to say is to share a word of encouragement. If there's any men here or you know any men that are struggling believers like I was, please be patient and come back to God. I did. I'm 57, and it took him, I don't know, about 50 years to get me back to him. As Winston Churchill said, not in relation to faith, but never, never, never give up. God did not give up on me. I think it took so long for him because he allowed me to resist. In his timing, he didn't let me stay there, and I pray the same for all men facing the same struggle. And my testimony is that he is a merciful and generous God and will work in your life. And in closing, the people of Faith Bridge, the men's ministry, kids' ministry, the road, all are God's blessing to me, and all the glory goes to God. But I know in my heart, he's used all the ministries of Faith Bridge to be part of bringing me closer to him. And I thank him for that. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Thanks. So, seeing how tonight is about the blessings, how would you encapsulate like the blessing that's come when you fully stepped into that full obedience and that surrender to Christ? What's happened that you've seen in your life since then?
I never understood the true meaning of peace and joy. The true peace that Jesus Christ has saved me and loves me, that'll never be taken away from me, and that anything else that's ever been created is infinitely less satisfying and fulfilling than Jesus, and that guides my life. That's the first thing, peace and joy, true peace and joy, not from the head but from the heart. The other thing is the love for the Word. His Word, the Bible is the living Word of God, and as Sean said at the panel, every single word of it is true from cover to cover. I believe that. Sometimes I don't understand it, and then I just have to learn more and seek counsel from men who do know more than I do.
Well, I don't know. Don't hang on.
But reading the Bible, whenever I get off track, or which I read the Bible every day, but I might have some thoughts that I don't appreciate. Yeah. I read the Bible, and I come back, and it's God speaking to me.
That's
so
good.
Those two things.
That's
blessings.
Good, man. Man, I love it. Blessings. All right. Peace and joy in the Word. I love that, man. Well, hey, thank you, Pat. And y'all give him a hand. And thanks, buddy. Appreciate you, man. All right, well, I'm done. Let me just pray for us, and I'll get it off stage. No, I'm just kidding. You guys know I can't not talk about something. So, Pat, I appreciate you, brother. And that leads me now into this next point, which is the blessings. That's what I want us to capture is, guys, like, remember when we were at the panel and you heard when we were talking about, like, men who step into frontier, right? Like, we are all facing a frontier. We're all being called into something. And the biggest thing that we're called into is faith. It's having that faith, stepping into it. And so what happens when we do, right? And that's what I love about Pat's story. He embodied it perfectly with that peace That word peace. All right, so that's why I want to capture in 128, Psalm 128. We'll go back to that. So looking at verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. It's like we can just stop right there. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Blessed. You need to hang on to that word. And here's why. There's something unique that is happening in that word right there. When you look at the ancient Hebrew meaning of that word, it actually is a noun. It's a noun, right? And by definition, that particular noun actually means happy. Like, wait a second. Like, how does the feeling of happy become a noun, right? Like, we would think, like, well, you know, happy is like a feeling that you have. Like, I'm feeling happy. You're describing something. But what they're actually saying is that a state of being happens when we do what? When we fear the Lord. A state of happy. Right? That's the blessing. That's being blessed. Your physical being actually changes when you fear the Lord. But here's the thing. There's a caveat to that. The caveat is what? Who walks in his ways. Who walks in his ways. But here's the thing, guys. This is not a, what it's saying is it's talking about obedience, right? You heard Pat talk about obedience, right? Being obedient, and he was being disobedient. You were using those words, but remember, during the course of this study, what did we talk about? You physically cannot obey the law on your own. You can't do it. That was the whole point. God says, you tried, you can't. I'm still working this out within you. Right, I'm still building that bridge. So we have the new covenant, right? We have his spirit, but that's what he's saying. It's not how you feel about God. It's like, you know what, God's a pretty cool guy. You know, like, yeah, I like to walk with him. Like, go take some strolls on the beach together. Maybe we could talk about some stuff. He's a pretty neat dude. That's not what it's talking about. Obeying his ways. But that's what I love about it. It's going back to the whole thing that we talked about this semester, is that in order for us to obey, we have to have his Holy Spirit within us. Right, because remember, we learned in Ezekiel, going back to that 36:26, where it talked about, I will put my spirit within you. Then you can obey. So then how do we get his Holy Spirit within us? Back to the beginning. Believe. We got to believe. Once we believe, we can receive. And now he puts his Holy Spirit inside of you. And now you can walk in his way. Right? Now we can obey him. Because we are believing, right? It reminds me of back in John 20:29, right? This is where one of my favorite verses of all time. Blessed is he who believes without seeing. Blessed is he who believes without seeing. What I love about that is that's for y'all. That's for me. He's referencing the fact that he's talking to his disciples, who he's saying, guess what? There will be disciples who follow after you who will have not known me as you know me. They will not have walked with thee. They will not have seen me like you see me, the physical presence. And yet he says, what does he say? Blessed is he who believes without seeing. So it goes back to that, believing. Why does he say that? It's back to that point. When you believe, you now have the opportunity to receive his Holy Spirit. He puts it inside you, and now we can find, what did Pat talk about? That peace, right? That peace. You can't put a price on peace. Oh, wait. Yeah, you can. It's called the blood of Jesus. There is an absolute price for peace. But see, here's the thing. There's nothing material in this world that can make up for the gift of peace. Right, of that peace in your soul. I'm talking about that deep peace where you feel like everything, no matter the storm around us. Remember, it reminds me of like when the disciples are on the boat, right? And it's just, when you freak out a fisherman with a storm, that's got to be rough. Like, that's got to be like that perfect storm kind of scenario, right? Like, massive 200-foot waves is what I'm envisioning. If a fisherman is scared, that's a boat I don't want to be on, right? And yet, what does Jesus do? He calms the storm. Like, it's that level of peace in your soul, right, that we're talking about. And I think about this. There's no money on this planet that can buy that, because I don't know if you guys have ever heard this. I don't think my brother James, are you here tonight? Oh, I'm going to give him a hard time. He's not here. I got all ready to talk about him tonight, and he doesn't show up. Anyways, James knows this. There's a couple guys who've known me about as long as him in this room, but James knows me the longest. And so he saw a season that I went through. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced anxiety or depression or things like that, but like Pat, I was a believer since I was in diapers, right? I was born into the church, but my faith wasn't quite my own. I went off the rails in college, as I know that's probably a lot of our testimony stories. But, you know, anybody felt like they were invincible in college? Am I the only one? It's like, I just couldn't do anything wrong, right? Like, I could run through a brick wall. That was my college years. And then it carries over into adulthood. And for you young guys, I promise you will experience this someday. Yeah, I'm looking at that table over there, because we all remember being 16 and 17. Yeah, you guys are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. But there's that moment where you go, crap. I'm getting closer to the end of this road, not the start of this road, right? Like, and like, hang on a second, I'm not as invincible as I thought. And here's the thing, it happened when my first daughter was born. And I've heard that for a lot of dads, all of a sudden you're sitting here and you're going, and there's a few words I'd like to share that, you know, came out of my mouth, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. You're like, oh crap, yeah. Right? Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. And that's when, for me, I started questioning my mortality, right? Like my existence. Like, I'm not living for myself anymore. I can't do and be as dumb as I thought I could be. And then I'm questioning, like, where is my faith? Like, if all this goes away, like, where am I? I'm having FOMO. You guys know what FOMO is? Fear of missing out, right? Like, I'm starting to go, like, oh my gosh, what if I died tomorrow? I wouldn't get to see my daughter do this and my daughter do that, and I wouldn't get to see her, you know, graduate high school, walk her down the aisle. And all of a sudden, there was this season in my life where I'm like 32, 33 years old, and I'd have full-blown panic attacks, like full-blown anxiety attacks. My blood pressure would go to 200 over, you know, 120. It's like, people are like, you're going to die. And it's funny because my doctor was like, just go for a run. Apparently, I'm the kind of guy that's like, you just got to turn your brain off, right? So, like, exercise actually helps you. It doesn't hurt you. But it was like, I would go through these moments, and I remember, I'm a believer, right? I'm a Christian. And I like how Pat talked about how some of us in this room, you've gone from atheism to salvation. Some have gone from this journey of what I like to call an Aldersgate experience, where you were a Christian, but then you had this kind of Holy Spirit moment. And then you get real with it, right? Your faith becomes very real in what you're wrestling with. And so for me, that was this moment where it was like, I'm a believer, but am I? Like, do I really believe this stuff? Like, why am I having these fears and these doubts, and I'm afraid of death? Like, let's just own it. I don't want to die. Like, I'm scared. Like, and I'm thinking, like, am I having a heart attack? And like, people are like, you're 33, 34, calm down. Like, you know, it's the head, right? It's that anxiety. It's like, what is coming over me? This is never who I was. And so I'm 34 years old, and I'm leading a team of men in France. We're on a mission trip. You think, oh, Danny's a fantastic believer. He's a men's leader. He's doing awesome. And inside, I am a duck on the pond, man. Like, my heart's racing. And I remember there was this one point. James remembers it. That's why I was going to mention him. I had to recuse myself from teaching a Bible study to the French that we were there. We were building a house, but they invited us, and they asked me to teach a Bible study, right, to this little 20-person church there in Chantilly. And I had a full-blown panic attack. And I couldn't breathe. And I'm freaking out. And I had to recuse myself and say, James, I need you. I got to go. I just got to go. You got to teach. You talk about the enemy winning in that moment. He shut me down. He took me out of the fight. But it's also because God was doing something in me and revealing things in me. So what did I do as I went outside? And for me, my wife was the thing that God gave me to calm me down. So it's like 2 a.m. and I'm calling her, right? Here. And, you know, she's bringing me off the ledge, and I'm just like, I'm walking circles around the parking lot, just trying to calm my heart down. That was, what, 9 years ago for me? And in the last 7 years, that's what I've experienced, is absolute peace. Because I just finally said, I can't. It was that, like I did last week, it was just that, I can't do this anymore. I can't. I'm done chasing. I'm done running. And I finally got it, where I had my Holy Spirit Aldersgate moment. But it was me giving up. It was me giving up. And the blessing that follows from that is, it was like this calm in the storm. I remember one, it was the moment here in the Woodlands, I was 38, and it was when I was deciding to go into ministry. And man, you talk about the enemy just hitting me with stuff, like, you have no business being in the ministry. I've known what you've done. Some of the men you're going to serve know what you've done. They've seen how you've behaved at bars. They've seen how you've behaved with women. They've seen all these things. They've heard these things. What right do I have to stand on the stage? And I remember it was a brother of mine who said, stop. Flip that on the enemy, because that's him trying to stop you for what God's doing. And the moment he said that, when I just said, God, it's you. You've got to do this in me. Psalm 23 is what I heard. That's why it is tattooed on my heart. It was at quiet waters. He led me by the still waters. I mean, literally in that moment, it went, silence is what I heard in my soul. And at that point, I said, I will never serve anything but you. And I will pursue every man to do the same. Because I want every man to know that peace, that absolute peace. And you know, you guys, some of you know in this room, you know what I'm talking about. You're fighting for the next dollar. You're pursuing that next thing, because we think something out there will bring that blessing, will bring that peace, will bring that calm. If I just get one more, if I just get to there, if I just get to that, that's not what it is. And that's not what's going to lead to that absolute peace that I'm talking about. It only comes from him when we walk in his ways. When we walk in his ways, we are obedient to him, Holy Spirit inside of us. But wait, that's not all. We got two more that come out of this that I'm kind of a fan of, that I love how Psalm 28 talks about, right? What's that next one? In verse 3, it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Do not go home and say, Danny said we got to be fruitful. All right? Like, I don't want you to read into that. But that's not what it's talking about. What it actually is referencing, what it's referring to, is can you imagine how peaceful your home will be when the priest of that home, the leader of that home, is in full surrender to God? You want to turn on your wife? If y'all are married, listen up. You want to turn your wife on? Surrender your whole life to God and let her see God move through you. That's what it's talking about. She will be fruitful. She will find affection, kindness, hospitality. That's what the wives want. They want to follow you in that. That is the greatest turn on. And if you're single, guys, listen up, especially you boys at that table. I'm telling you, that's what women are looking for. I promise you. And they're lying if they say they're not. That was what happened in our marriage. Same thing. My wife was like, I thought we had a decent marriage. I never thought it could be great. It happened at the same time that all this was going on in me. And I didn't do anything except follow God. Let him just clean my soul, get all of it out. And I just followed him first and foremost. That's all I wanted. That's all he wants from you. So it's saying your wife will be fruitful. It's that simple, right? She'll find the affection, the helpfulness. And then it keeps going. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. You're thinking, well, that's an odd example. What does that even mean? Danny, fill us in here. One way to look at this is, yes, it's about, like, you know, we can have children, okay? But the other way of seeing this is olive trees can take up to 40 years to blossom. Take a long time to make olives. All right? So we can also see this as to say, guys, we're leaving a legacy. Leaving a legacy for your kids. Right? But it can take time. Right? How many dads we got in the room? You beat your heads against the wall, right? Because you're like, I'm just trying to show you what to do, and you just keep fighting me on this. And then we all remember that we were kids, right? Like, oh, yeah, that's basically what kids do. Eventually, I promise, they figured out, right, that, like I just said, I was raised in the church. It kind of took me 40 years, right? Apparently, I'm an olive tree, okay? So, but it takes that investment. It takes us continuing to move, because eventually God is promising you to say, I will show you that your children will be like an olive. But there's more to that. There's more. It's not just simple. It's like, oh, you know, let's just bring them to church and everything's going to work out just fine. And that's all that has to happen. That's not what it is, right? Because when the end of this section says, and may you see your children's children, that's legacy. That's legacy. When it talks about the blessings that follow generation after generation after generation after generation. But it's not because you say, you know what, I brought my kids to church. Chris Clark, you're an FSM director. You and I would talk about all the time that it takes men at home leading their children, not the FSM director and his staff. That's Barna. Do y'all know the Barna Group? Barna did a survey a couple years ago where they surveyed 3,000 college students at the time that had walked away from the faith. 3,000 walked away from the faith. 90%, you know why? They didn't see it at home. They were brought to church. This may be a little convicting. It's convicting for me. Same way, because my job is to disciple my children. But that's what he's saying. The blessings will come. Your children will be an olive shoot. You will see children's, right, in the faith. But you have to be the one investing. Not me and your kids. Not Chris Clark. Not Jordan, right? Not Emily. Not our amazing kids ministry team. They're part of the process. But the command is to us. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Right? That's where he's saying, your children's children. Okay? But this is where I want to close, guys. There's proof in the pudding, right? We've seen it. We walk with peace. We know peace. Our wives will be fruitful in those gifts from the Spirit with affection and kindness and gentleness and hospitality, all of those things. Our children will be like olive sprouts, right? And that we will see our children's children's children in the faith, right? These are all incredible things. And there's proof in the pudding in all this. And that's what I'm trying to get at. That's why we started with this point, is because, guys, I want you guys to want every man to know that. Every man to find that blessing. Every man to find that peace to come home. I know all of you guys, if your marriage seems to be in turmoil, I know you're sitting here going, yeah, I want that. Okay? Well, coming home and telling her that, hey, I need you to be more fruitful, that ain't gonna do it. It's the man coming in and saying, honey, I'm sorry, and I'm gonna pursue God like I should. That's where it starts. And so it reminds me, because at the end of the day, it's a choice. It's a choice that you have to make. We all have to make it. And I'm reminded of Joshua when he said, okay, as you choose for yourself who you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. That's what my family's going to do. What are you going to do? Because when you do, that's when I believe you will be put on purpose and we will see revival happen in men. Amen? All right. So choose for yourself who you will serve this day. Wrestle with that. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know there's a lot of you room that you wholeheartedly agree. But that's my encouragement, is that take it to the next level, guys. Lead others well. Because I'm excited about what God's doing in this ministry. And I'm excited to end on this note. Because we're only growing. There's more men coming. So the men that are in this room, you got to be ready for next semester, because there's more new guys coming that want to know what it is you have. They want to know. I already see new faces in this room that weren't here last time. And now they're getting it. Like, okay, I want it. So y'all become the leaders that lead the next group, so that we may know peace. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for these men. I pray that you would be with them around their table discussions tonight, and that your Spirit would continue to move. And Lord, I'm gonna ask for it. We want to see revival. We want to see a stirring in men that can only come from your Holy Spirit moving through us like a roaring river. We want to see that, Lord. Let us surrender to you that we may be a part of it. I love that idea of what gets us up in the morning. What is that thing that's moving us? Well, let it be your Spirit that moves us, that we can find more men to say, you know what, you want to know peace? You want to know a peaceful house? You want to see your children blossom? I got the answer. It's right here. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Be with these men. We love you. We praise you. We trust you. And we thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.